Okay, I guess it's my turn. All right. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we recount again the time when you saw fit to enter this world and send a message out to the whole world and use the event that was created of the devil to bring it about. Lord, we thank you for loving us, and we're still looking for you to come again. We know you will. Help us to be, as we were reminded in Sunday school, to be good witnesses and testimony. And as these children have portrayed some of the events that surround the birth of Christ, God, help our minds to go back and think of what all you went through in just a short time of 30-some years to bring us salvation. To be in among us today that has never tasted that good and wonderful salvation, may this be the time. In Jesus' name, amen. In this series, I've been using people surrounding the birth of Christ who were not nearly well known. We talked about the father of John the Baptist. Today we'll be speaking about the father, the earthly father of Jesus. The Bible says he never knew Mary till after the baby was born, and they had other children, we know that. But he had quite a time with that. The title of the message today is, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is." Your thoughts will soon run your actions. And Jesus spoke to many different people. God spoke to them through a dream while they were sleeping. And that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph was quite disturbed. And wouldn't you be? They had already gotten engaged. The wedding date was already set. They already planned. And this is the virgin girl of his dreams. They're going to get married. And all of a sudden she has a story for him. "I'm pregnant." And so he went home and was lying down, and he thought on that event. Again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Whatever you gather in your thoughts throughout a day, a time of your life, eventually those thoughts will dominate you. We have to think pure thoughts if we want God to speak to us. People say, "Well, God don't talk to me." Well, if you get some good thoughts in your head during the daytime, get some good rest at night, he will speak to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," these are the things we ought to think on. "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things." God says, here's what you should be, your mind be dominated with, these thoughts, and not with all the bad things that you could think of. And surely many of us have had bad days, will have bad days, but we can't let those thoughts dominate us. We have to get the good things of God. We'll take them one by one and give biblical examples how we're to think on these things. First of all, true. We live in a world full of lies. Did you know that? We don't know who to believe today. We have an administration that's running our country when none of them agree with each other. Other countries don't believe in it. We don't believe in them. And what they tell us is certainly not true in many cases. Our news reporters call things that we know are not so. And we have all this going around. If there's any place we ought to get the truth, it'll be in the house of God. Amen? Peter said, it's the pillar, the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. We should get truth there. Many preachers fail to speak out. They're cowardly. They're not going to talk about the truth. Afraid they'll offend somebody. Afraid they'll bring harshness upon themselves. But truth. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John said, the greatest thing I think about the church down there is you walk in truth. It says something to us. We were talking in the Sunday school class about how people see our lives, and then it reflects feelings in their mind, their heart, good or bad, what the church is through what they saw in us. We need to make sure that what we do, what we say, reflects the truth. We can have all kinds of thoughts, and we talk about every story that we hear. Well, go something like this. I don't really know, but I heard. Whoa. If you witnessed a car accident and they called you in court to testify, and you'd say, well, I thought, no, Judge, I don't know what you thought, mister. I don't know what you saw. Tell us what you saw. The truth will come out. We need to make sure we're sending out the truth of God about the church, about Christmas, about how we sometimes get this story a little mixed up, where people were at a certain time. But the truth, what is God saying through us to the world about this event? If they look at my life, what do they get out of that? What kind of a thought is dominating their personality and their being? John said again in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. We've talked a few times, preached about that. Tells us in Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, that we have the ability to think like Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have access to that. So we can get the truth from God always. And our thoughts should be dominated by that, not by what we heard. Oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it matters a whole lot. It matters a whole lot how we put the truth out, that we may know Him that is true. In the Gospels, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. We want the truth, we go to Him. We know we see movies and storybooks about the life of Christ and about the church age. It's a bunch of stuff that man's conjured up, much of it not true. We want to get to truth. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We want things done in truth and in God's way. We find that after we have thoughts, our thoughts dominated by truth, we need to be honest. And one of the things I was pointing out for my part in Sunday school is make sure that you are honest about yourself. Years ago, when I was applying for a job somewhere, they wanted me to tell them what was my strongest point and what was my weakest point. And you've been taught when you go to an interview like that, that you take your weak point and make it sound like a strong point. Oh, well, my problem is I work too hard and stay out too late working away from my family, and I have to start gauging my time. Wow, this guy wants to work. We're going to hire him. That's the kind of stuff that comes out. But we have to be honest within ourselves. Other people will see us, they'll hear us, they'll know about us, and they'll come out sooner or later. And if it doesn't come out here, it will come out there. God will bring it out there. Many of us, my part is in that too. We get frustrated with our officials. We wonder why Hillary and Pelosi and some of those people haven't been hung by that highest tree already. But the truth will come out. God will bring the truth out. He promised to do that. So I can't fret over that. So we know to be honest. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for things, for honest things, and not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. God said, I already know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to do. Make sure that men see the truth in you. And when we confess and come to the altar, we should confess. God, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I have a bad attitude. I don't treat my family right. I don't treat my fellow members right. Whatever our problem is, be honest with yourself. Then you can be honest with God and with people. So we've got to have the truth if we're going to lie down and expect God to speak to us. And our thoughts are swirling in our mind about a day, and God enters into it. And there seems to be a great big silence. And then God begins to speak to you. The third thing that Paul said we should have our thoughts dominated with is what is just. Me, I have something to say about everything. I have to be careful. But we were talking about people who are not just and don't deserve certain things. We need to be just. What is it? We've already talked about the truth and honest. And as some said this morning, and I said, I've been in that ditch where that guy was. Years ago when I was stationed in Hawaii, I went downtown with the guys, was in the military, having a big shindig, doing things I shouldn't have done. I got away from the guys. There's a boulevard back then, it's been 30 years ago, that run from Honolulu down to Waikiki Beach. And there's 6 lanes of highway. Cars just going. And the later it gets, the more traffic there is. As the evil places in Honolulu close, they start moving towards Waikiki, the beach. And out in the middle where they come together, there's a big island of concrete. I was awakened out of my stupid, induced, drunken state. And there was a great big Hawaiian cop standing there. He said, sir, I thought you were dead. When they called me to come down here and I saw you lying, I figured a car had hit you and you were just lying there dead. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to pay your bus fare and put you on a bus, send you back to Port Chaffee so you can get back where you belong. I'm so glad you're not dead. I didn't deserve that. He could have taken me and thrown me in jail. That's where I deserve to be, but he did not do it. Whatsoever thing that trusts the integrity of the upright, as tells us in Proverbs 11:3, shall guide them. But the man, the perverseness of transgressors shall be destroyed. The Bible says, forgive others as God forgives you. That's a pretty tall order. You know, we want God to forgive us or something, but we don't want to forgive somebody else. Do you remember the story of the three guys? The man left them some money to do some stuff for him. When I come again, I expect some return on it. 10, 5, 1. Comes back, the guy's gained double. Got 40 now, this, or 20 now. This guy's got a 10. This guy, I got nothing because I didn't have nothing to give. God sees all that. God knows all that. Tells us in Romans 1:17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. When we see problems, when we see our life, we say, oh, some people in this life, Christian people, they have done things that they don't like, but they can't forgive themselves. God says, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. But they can't forgive themselves. They keep dragging it back up. Keep dragging it back up. Keep dragging it back up. And as they think on that, then their thoughts can't be pure and aggressive for marching ahead. Number four, our thoughts ought to be pure. There's enough out there. There's enough on the TV. There's enough on your computer. Enough on your cell phone. Dirt, filth, to just pollute your mind. You can't think on that kind of stuff and expect God to give you good thoughts on the bed. Whatsoever things are pure, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, we're told in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. The pure in heart. These things are kind of dovetailed. Truth, honest, just, then we get some pure thoughts. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now listen to this. Taking heed thereunto according to thy word. The word of God. The word of God. We got to get in the word of God. Not just a hit and miss, or, oh, I'm going to read a chapter and blah, 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 I don't know what I read, but I've read a chapter, good, I should be good for the day. We need to let that word of God get into our mind, our heart, and completely melt us and put us where we belong so God can give us the good thoughts. Amen? You cleanse yourself with the word of God. Get it. My illustration, I don't have a lot, but they're good. Been a while since I used them, I guess. If you had a clean sponge and you put it in clean water and squeeze it, clean water comes out. But if you put dirty water, put the clean sponge in the dirty water and squeeze it, and dirty water comes out. The way to find out what you think, what you believe, is how you react to bad situations in your life. When a squeeze comes on, does the evil come out? Oh, I knew it. I knew it. Hey, that's no good with God. How did God handle his situation? One thief is saying, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you get us down off of here and get us out of here? He didn't say a word. When he was being tried before Pilate, Pilate said, don't you see, don't you hear how many bad things they're saying about you? And then it says, and he marveled that he spoke not a word. Spoke not a word. He wasn't going to let that filth, garbage pollute him. Lovely. What does that word mean? It means that love is dominating the characteristic of your life. Colossians 1:10. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, how do you get knowledge of God? Get the Bible out. What does the Bible say? Get the Bible out. Number six, good report. People will know what you're doing. 1 Timothy 3:7, Paul said to young Timothy, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The devil's laying traps for you right now. He's got people, he's got things going on, he's got it all. He knows exactly what will grab you and how to get you. Oh, that's what I like. That's what the devil wants to hear. He said to Eve, why don't you have some of the tree? Well, God said we're not supposed to do that. We might die if we even touch it, which was a lie. God didn't say that. Oh, you're not going to die. Just come a little closer. Let me show you. Take a bite. Oh, it is good. Why don't you get your husband? Sin's like that, you know. We not only pollute ourselves, but we pollute others around us because we listen to the devil and his lies. He said in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. How often do you hear, everybody's doing it? Everybody's doing it. What is this crazy stuff they're doing, the drag queen? You all hear that? You think that's crazy? I do. I think it's nuts. I think it's stupid. And I think people doing it's got to be associated with drugs and everything else too. And be not conformed to the world. Just because the world does it, don't mean I'm going to do it. But be ye transformed. You know what that thing does that's on a pole? It takes that electricity and puts it into a wire and brings it down so we can use it. If you didn't do that, that stuff, if God's putting that on, and he's not worried, that'll shock him and kill him. That's what the world wants to do. You wants to destroy you, your testimony, your family, your home. But you be transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got the mind of Christ, you got to think different, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know what God's will for my life is. Get in the Word. All those things, those thoughts. Number seven, virtue. What does virtue mean? It's a culmination of most of those things we've already looked at. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. If you get the right kind of knowledge in God, and not the kind the world's putting out. They're still fighting in the education systems about this yoke stuff and whatever it is. Tell me how our young people get all those drugs that's killing them coming across the world. Somewhere they had to get it from somebody. And the parents now come forward crying. Where was a parent when a child was getting, oh, he's 18, he knows what he's doing. Oh, yeah. He's dead. He must not have known what he was doing. Huh? What do you say? You don't know everything at 18 years old. Just because you turn a date on a calendar. And lastly, praise. I've said this, and I'll say it again. We are way behind in praising God. Praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. We're supposed to praise God in everything, in all things. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. Praise God. Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praised. Oh, it's cool, of course. It's the middle of December. What do you think? You think you're going to find it? Beach for Florida here. I thought someday, since so many people like to go to the beach, we ought to get take this off and get a sand scene and some tan lotion and put people up here so they can feel right home like they're going at the beach. What do you think about that? Went to the beach this morning. Where? Back down to church. We've got our beach. The conclusion to all this morning, folks. The young man, Joseph, got his answer because he had some thoughts that were pure, good report. God put in his head. God said, don't worry, Joseph. Don't worry. What you're doing is right. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God thinks about you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a good end planned for your life if you let him have you. Let God have you. But if you run it yourself, no telling where you end up. Check the cemetery out. On and on and on. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, in thy wonderful name we come to thee. And Lord, I confess before these people and you, and you know all those sins are forgiven. You said you'd forgive them that I've committed, because I thought I knew everything. Thank you for the love you've given me. Thank you for the blood that was spilled and shed from your own body to cleanse me and make me whole, make me a saint of God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for the remembrance of why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, glory. Now, if you have a thought that's dominating you and you'd like to confess, God, help me with my thoughts, because thoughts lead somewhere else. As the piano begins to play, the altar is open to you.
Sing hymn 121.
Jesus, the
coming today. God bless you. Be back this evening. We'll have some more scenery portraying the birth of Jesus Christ and the church. Let the church go on. Amen. Okay. I didn't know you were back there. When did you come in, Tom? Glad to have you here. God bless you. I've been by your house a couple of times, and I ring that thing, but I don't get any answer. I've got to get out and see you. Ed, would you have our closing prayer, please?